Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And today with me in the studio is Major Ron Brooks. And Major Brooks, we were thrilled to have you in services recently with us, and such a joy to be able to just hear your personal testimony, because I think you have a testimony that hundreds of thousands of people that go to church really need to have. And as you were sharing that testimony, I thought that'd be fantastic if the folks that are listening to our broadcast would be able to just hear how God worked in your life.
Well, it is amazing that God is so patient and loving toward us. First of all, let me tell you, I'm very weird. I grew up in West Virginia.
Oh, my.
So that means that when I went to college, my speech teacher had her work cut out for her teaching me how to speak English.
Oh.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But God is patient. I grew up in a what would be called today a relatively poor family.
Sure.
There was a little mission church right close to where I lived. And my mother, bless her heart, felt like a boy ought to be in church in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That was a good thing, and I'm glad that's true. But I remember when I was 12 years old, they had a Boy Scout Sunday. And I was told this, okay, now you're 12 years old, you ought to go forward and present yourself for baptism and church membership.
That was the age.
That was the age.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I went forward, and I was asked when I went forward, why are you coming forward? And so I'd been told that I was coming forward to present myself for baptism and church membership.
Sure.
So that's what the church was told, and they voted, and that night I was baptized, and I was a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as I knew, I was in. That's what you do.
That's all they told you to do.
That's all I was told to do. Nobody asked me about my condition spiritually or about putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was just baptism and church membership.
Sure.
So as I said in the message, I really wanted to succeed in whatever I did. And so that meant church too.
Mm-hmm.
So I started watching the leadership, the older people that I kind of looked up to,
mm-hmm.
to see how they were successful in church.
Right.
And I tried to imitate what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, well, I'm on my way. And when I went into my teen years then, I was elected the president of our youth group. Well, I've arrived. I'm in church. I'm baptized. I'm on my way. I'm
sure.
Must have this thing right. I'm doing what I see all the adults doing, so I must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of things happened that really started me to be concerned. My great love was airplanes. I grew up on the Kanawha River, which is not exactly an airfield, but there was a seaplane base about 2 miles from my home.
Okay.
And so my love for airplanes translated to my spending as much time at the seaplane base as I could.
Right.
So I began to make myself useful. I'd sweep hangars. I'd wash aircraft. I would do anything I could do just to be around them.
Right.
And one of the guys I got to know pretty well on a cross-country flight crashed in the mountains and was killed.
Wow.
So I started asking myself the question, where did he go?
Exactly.
And how do you know where you're going to go after you die?
And you were how old at this time?
I was probably 15, 14.
Okay, okay.
Then one day riding my bicycle home, I heard a terrible crash and looked, and I saw a car go into the back end of a city transit bus, diesel engine in the back.
Right.
I went over to see if I could help. They called an ambulance. They put the man in the ambulance. This was back in the days before EMS.
Right, right.
And they asked me, would I mind getting in the ambulance and holding this guy on the way to the hospital?
Wow.
Well, I did. While I was holding him, he breathed his last. He died.
Right there in the ambulance
right
on the way to
the
hospital.
And so I had an even stronger question. Okay, what if that had been me? Where would I go?
Exactly.
How do you know where you're going to go?
Yeah.
Well, I had a good friend who knew the Lord, knew I didn't. I didn't know he knew I didn't, but he invited me to a youth rally on a Saturday night. And this youth rally was fun. They did Bible quizzing. We sang happy choruses and just had a great time. But they had a young preacher that night, and I just knew my friend had set this up because I'm sitting on the second row. And this preacher didn't stand up in the pulpit. He came down. He put his foot up on the seat in the front row right in front of me. And all the time he was speaking, he was pointing his finger right.
Kind of got real personal.
Very personal, real quick.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a setup. But as I listened to what he had to say, a lot of the things that I'd been questioning came back to mind. For instance, he said, you know, a lot of people wonder, when you die, what's going to happen? He said, you know, the Bible talks about eternity. Your body may die, but your soul is going to live somewhere forever in a place called eternity. And there's only two places. You're either with God in heaven, or you're in a place called hell, separated from God. And both of those places are forever. And the choice you have to make is a choice you make in this life. You can't make it afterwards. He said something about the Bible saying it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, that started me thinking some more, okay? Both of these friends died. That means if they hadn't made some kind of a decision about God in this life, wherever they are, they're there forever.
And it's too late to change.
Can't change.
Right.
And that really got me thinking. Then he said, you know, some of you think because you're baptized, a member of a church, or perhaps you do good things, that that's going to somehow get you some merit or favor with God, and that's how you get to heaven. He said, but that's not what the Bible says. He says, the Bible says that your biggest problem is sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us in this room has sinned. We're sinners. And God says there's only one remedy for sin, and that is death. For the wages of sin is death. Then he wanted to explain that didn't just mean the death of your human body, although that would happen, but he was talking about death being separation from God. That really began to click in my mind. I'm beginning to see something here. And he said, the greatest problem you have then is how are you going to get rid of your sin problem? Because that's the only way you can have real fellowship with God. That's the only way you can know that you're on your way to heaven and be with God forever.
Right.
So he went on to say, you know, God has already paid the price. The wage of sin is death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth for one purpose, and that was to take your sin and mine and his body when he died on that cross. Two important things happened. Number one, when he died, he said, it is finished, tetelestai. That means paid in full. But he also said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that moment, the very Son of God was separated from God the Father. Death is separation from God. And he paid the price for sin.
So we wouldn't have to be separated from God.
Exactly. So right. That we wouldn't have to. And he made it that clear. He said, then what you need to do is realize that you are a sinner, that sin separates a person from God. And there's only one remedy, and that is God's remedy. And I believe he said something about Adam and Eve in the garden when they disobeyed God and sinned. And when God came that evening, they hid themselves from God. They were separated from God. And before that, they had tried to do something to cover their nakedness. They made aprons of leaves. And he said that was the first act of religion. He said religion is always man's attempt to cover himself before a holy God.
Sure.
And he said, it didn't work then. It still doesn't work. But in that case, what God did, God slew an animal, took the skins, and God himself provided a covering. And he said, the only covering that God will accept is the covering that God himself supplies.
And so in essence, in this message that was being preached, you heard nothing about baptism. You heard nothing about church membership.
No, except that that's not good enough to take care of your sin problem.
Well, I bet you were really squirming.
I was more than squirming. I was sweating.
Mm.
And I just knew now for sure my friend had really set me up. But, you know, as this man continued to preach, he said this, but there's good news. The good news is that God loves you. And then he quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Wonderful.
And
he
said, God doesn't want you to perish.
Amen.
God has provided a way for you to have eternal life. And he said, here's the way it works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, his grace, that he saves us. He said, you have to understand that you're a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's grace. You have to be sorry for that sin. That's called repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to call out to God and ask him to forgive your sin and to come into your life and be your Savior. Well, that sounded too simple to me. Something inside of me says, no, you got to do something. You know, this is part mine. You know, mm-hmm. I've got to do something.
Exactly.
And I was trying to put works back into this on my side. You know, I've already had some works. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. I'm working in the youth group. I'm doing all that. That's works.
Right.
But he kept saying, none of that's good enough. In fact, I think he said there was some verse somewhere in the Bible said that's like filthy rags.
Mm.
And so I'm really thinking. Then he gave an invitation. In our church, they gave an invitation to join the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything about joining anything. What right. he said was, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior and be assured of the fact that you have eternal life, then this invitation is for you. Well, I had what I called a white knuckle experience. I was holding on to the back of that pew because everything inside of me said, that's what you need. Mm-hmm. That's the answer to these questions.
Sure.
But something else kept saying, but what will people think? You're the president of the youth group. And I identified that as pride. Pride was preventing me from doing what I knew God wanted me to do, to receive something that God had already paid for and was offering to me as a free gift. And so I didn't respond. Well, I did respond by saying no. I did
Correct.
Not go forward
Correct.
And receive Christ. But I couldn't get away from God. That night, as I tried to go to sleep, you know, I've learned something about teenagers, having been one.
Sure.
Teenagers reason logically to the wrong conclusion almost every time.
Exactly.
So here I am. I'm seeing this young preacher with his finger in my face saying that baptism, church membership, none of these things are good enough to take care of your biggest problem, which is a sin problem. Only God can take care of that, and he's already done it for you. And I kept trying to get away from that finger and those voices, so I pulled the pillow up over my head, but I couldn't get away from it.
Well, Major Brooks, we are reaching the end of this broadcast, and so I think you're just going to kind of have to leave us hanging right there until next time. But maybe you're listening to Major Brooks share his personal testimony, and you identify exactly with that. We pray that your understanding of trusting Christ as your personal Savior and repenting of your sins and turning to him for salvation will be your experience today, because you don't have to wait until next time to hear Major Brooks' testimony of what God did in his life. And until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.